really excited to do that. I figured also that he probably asked me to teach today because of the attendance. I could probably do the least amount of collateral damage. So that's pretty much what I figured he had in mind, was to give you an interesting talk over a few things about the fellowship. If you will look in your bulletins, there's an insert paper that has something written on it, and you just kind of put that aside for a while. What I'm first going to do is talk a little bit about what today is. Are there many out there who realize what today is? What the special day is today in the Christian calendar? Pentecost Sunday. Yeah, this is the day of Pentecost. How many are familiar with the Greek Pentecost? The idea that, okay, the Greek word means 50. Pentecost in the Old Testament was celebrated by the Jewish people as a time when they would come to the temple and they would offer the idea of worship to God for him presenting the word to them on Mount Sinai. What happened with Jesus during his time, he kind of gave us examples of what his life was and what happened to him were no accidents. What happened was that, as we all know, Jesus was the Passover sacrifice. The Jewish people understood that pretty well, but didn't want to accept that at the time. But he was our Passover sacrifice. And he rose on the third day, which was the first day of a feast they called First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits was where the people in the temple, the Levites, would take two loaves of bread and would pass them before the altar and offer them a sacrifice of the first fruits. Now, this happened on the Sunday. It happened the day after the Sabbath of the beginning of First Fruits. So they did that on the Sunday afterwards. Okay? 50 days exactly later would be the time of Pentecost, when they had gone through the wilderness and they went to the mountain of God and received the word in stone from Moses, talking about the Ten Commandments there and the laws of God. Let's, if you can, put up Leviticus 23:10, and this explains a little bit of this to you. Why am I talking about Pentecost and stuff today, other than it's a holiday? It ties in with what I'm going to be expressing later about what's going on in the fellowship and a few other things. So I'm going to tie it to today. Let's look at Leviticus 23:10-11. Is it up there? Okay, good. All right. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. And he's to wave that before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. And the priest is to wave that on the day after the Sabbath. Okay, so they have the Sabbath, and then the next day they have the beginning of the Feast of First Fruits. The two loaves, there were two loaves there. One represented Israel. The other actually represented the Gentile people. God was foreshadowing what he was going to be doing. He's going to bring these two together. The Jewish people, you know, they had this custom. It's like they do with Passover. They do a lot of things in Passover they don't really realize foreshadowing what Jesus was going to do and what he was going to represent. So they come to this mountain, and this is what they're supposed to do at this festival on the first fruit. Let's look at Exodus 16:20. They come to the mountain, and this is where this all begins. Okay. I'm an old guy, I have to dig through the pages here. That is the wrong scripture. 19. Thank you. I forgot to type that on there. Okay. 19:16-20. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, and everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and it was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. And the smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. What happened here is this is the day of what they called Pentecost. After the first fruits, after they had done that, they went to Pentecost after wandering through the desert for a while. And God descended on this mountain in fire and smoke. And the people were afraid. They're sitting there, and they see this mountain on fire and smoke coming down. And they're going, and they hear the trumpet sounding, a lot of noise, So they're going, whoa, we're not going up there. Moses, you go up and talk to him. You talk to God. God talks to you. So you go up to the mountain, you talk to him, because we're going to stay down here, because that's a little weird looking. It's kind of bad up there on the mountain. It looks like fire and smoke and hear all this noise. So this is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And the Lord brought him down, with the Ten Commandments, and they saw that, the people were kind of not doing the right thing down there. They were celebrating, making a new God and stuff. And on that day, because of that, about 3,000 people perished because of the sin that they did in the sight of the Lord. How is this tying together? Let's look at Jeremiah 31:31-34. Yeah, we're doing some hopping here. 31-34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is what, on the day of Pentecost, for like 1,500 years, the Jewish people were waiting for. They knew the story of Exodus and how they received the Ten Commandments, the law written in stone. What Jeremiah told him, there's going to come a time when the Messiah will come, and he will write this law on your heart. And so this is what the Jewish people were looking forward to on the day of Pentecost. They were looking forward to the time when someone would come and take the law that was in stone and put it on their hearts. And that's what they were looking for at that time. When Jesus did that, when the Holy Spirit descended on the church at Pentecost, they didn't realize what had happened. The law was literally taken from the stone tablets and written on their heart. That's what happened when the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost. God started writing His law, His way, His life that He wanted us to live. He started writing it on our hearts, on the heart of His body, the body of Christ, the fellowship, the church. This is what happened, and what is continuing to happen to this day. God has taken the stone, word, law, and is now writing it on our hearts. The reason I'm talking about this is because this ties into what we do every day. It becomes part of us. Jesus comes and dwells with us. Because of Pentecost, He came by the power of His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, each and every one of us. Now, this changed for the Jewish people for a certain reason. It happened just before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Everyone knows the temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. And what had happened just before that, the Jewish people started celebrating the Feast of First Fruits on a different day. Why? What was happening was those who really were educated in the law, the apostles who knew Jesus, if you look at the day before that, before he was crucified, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed upon the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then when he rose from the dead, one of the things he did was he came back and he explained all the law and all the things of the law that related to him. And he showed himself in all the things that were written in the law. He showed it to the apostles and to the disciples at that particular time. What was written on their heart was starting to be written, his word, his life, by the Holy Spirit, to show them exactly who Jesus was and how he fulfilled everything in the Old Testament, brought it all together and presented it to them. What happened is they went out and started teaching this. Jesus, the Messiah, died on Passover as a sacrificial lamb. Third day, rose from the grave. The third day was actually the day after the Sabbath of the Passover, an exact fulfillment of the day first fruits. You count a certain number of days, 50 days after that, and you come to Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. It fitted too much of a pattern for the Jewish believers at that time. The Sanhedrin passed rules then that said, we will no longer accept this period. We're going to start counting it from a different day so that it would not fall in line with what the Christians were teaching, because it made too much sense to follow Scripture and find Jesus right there as a pattern for them. They were having enough trouble with all the other things the disciples were doing, such as healing and such, driving out demonic spirits. They were all upset about that to begin with. Now they were seeing a pattern in the Scriptures. Whoa, we can't have that. That would take people away from the old system. So that's why the Jews celebrate the Pentecost at a different time than we do now. But what it shows us is the pattern that Jesus put through his life, showing us the patterns and things that God had put into order so that it did fulfill the times when he came. Why is this important? Let's look at Romans 8:11. And I did not get with the people that did worship today, and they came up with stuff. I said, let the Spirit lead you into what you wanted to sing, and just about everything they sang fit right into what I'm talking about today. So that was a nice confirmation for me. So Romans 8:11, if we'll take a look there. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. You believe that? Do you really? Think about that for a minute. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That's how Jesus could say to the disciples, I will never leave you. I will never depart from you. You may not see me, but I'm still going to be with you, because the third part of the Trinity is going to live in you. I will be living in you. Do you believe that? Think about it for a second. This is the God of all creation, and his Spirit is dwelling in us. As the kids would say, I teach, awesome. Okay. But just let that sink in for a second. What spirit is in us? It's the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead. If God is with us, who can be against us? If God is dwelling in us, who can stand against us? That's what we were singing a little bit earlier. He tried to show the disciples this before the Holy Spirit came in fullness at the day of Pentecost to them. Think about the time when he did the loaves and the fishes. What did he say? How did he start that whole miracle out? You feed them. He told the disciples, you feed them. What was he trying to say to them? You're going to be doing the things that I do because I hear what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do, and I do it. The Holy Spirit empowers me to do these things. Jesus was both fully God and fully man at the same time. He showed us by his life that we can live with the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us to do things. This is what he showed us. And he did this by showing the disciples that you feed them. What did he do? He just blessed the baskets, and the disciples went out and handed the baskets to the people. He found a kid that brought probably everything he had to eat for the whole day, brought a couple of sardines and a little bit of bread, and Jesus just blessed it, gave thanks to the Father. And he said, feed them. And the disciples went out, and the miracle happened. The disciples heard what Jesus was saying to do by the Holy Spirit, and then went and did it, obeyed. The two things that the Holy Spirit requires of us. Listen, hear what I'm saying, and do it. Those are the two things the Holy Spirit requires of us to do. So, he gave the disciples this, and he showed this as a method of saying to them, I'm going to be with you, even though I'm not here in the body right here, since I'm going to be ascended. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you, and you'll be able to do things by the empowerment that my Holy Spirit gives to you. Not because you're special or because I've chosen you to do special things, but because the Holy Spirit empowers each and every one of you to do this. There was more than just the 12 there that were handing out the loaves. There were his other disciples, people that followed him too. They were handing it out. You got to think, how many people were there? 3,000 people? How long would that take for 12 guys to hand out fish and bread? It would take quite a while. So there was actually more people participating in that. Seeing the Holy Spirit move. Seeing this miracle taking place. What would that do for their faith? It would build their faith up. Make them realize that God is really here and present. The kingdom is come. Here, right amongst us. And this is what Jesus does. The Spirit brings Jesus' life into the body of Christ, into the church, into you, each and every one of you. Let's look at Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, and listen to this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, as surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Do you believe Jesus? That's what he said. He's going to be with us till the end of the age. That means it's not just the early disciples or the early church that had the Holy Spirit working in them and doing things through them. Has the age ended? No. Has the Holy Spirit ended then? No. I will be with you till the end of the age. And what are the things he says that we will be doing? Why were we given the Holy Spirit? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. It's not because God wanted to zap some people on Pentecost and just give them a supercharge like Christians on steroids or something. He didn't just come down and zap them so that they could enjoy raising their hands and watching people fall over or seeing people healed every place they go. No. The soul, well, I won't say the soul, but the main reason the Holy Spirit was given to us was to go and make disciples, enabling us to show that the kingdom of God is here and now, that we can be spreading what Jesus did. He started the mission to bring everyone to Him. As it says further on in Scripture, Paul says that God would have none perish, but would have all come to Him. How is He going to accomplish this? Through us. How are we going to accomplish this? Through His power, through His Spirit dwelling within us. Which Spirit do we have? We have the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the Spirit that's dwelling in us now. Let's look at Mark 16, 17, and 18. Mark 16, 17, and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes and other things. And they will lay their hands on the sick people and they will get well. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink a deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Why would Jesus throw this in there? Why would He tell you these kind of things are going to happen as you're going out and carrying out the Great Commission? Why would He say this? I mean, like, I really want to go up and grab a bunch of snakes and play with them. No. What He's saying is to you, to everyone here, as He said later on, you will do the things that I do and even greater things than these. Why? So that people will see there is a living God. Not just some fantastic fantasy, but there is a living God who enables those who walk in His Spirit to do these kind of things. Why? Because there's people out there in the world that need something like this to happen in their lives. To realize that God loves them enough to want to be with them. It's not for our benefit that we have the Holy Spirit that enables us to do these things in us. It's not because, wow, this is really chill bump time and we're going to have a lot of fun doing this. No. The reason the Holy Spirit works through us is so that we can bring other people into the kingdom. That we can stand against the powers of darkness. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Me. I give it to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Him dwelling within us. I give it to you so that you can be bringing people into the kingdom. Letting them know that God loves them enough that He will do a special thing for them. Letting them know that God is powerful, that He's not some idea that we follow or some moral system that tells us to be good people. This is a sovereign God who steps in and does stuff all around us so that His glory can be seen, so that we can give the glory to the Father because of what we can do through the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what we're doing. This is why it's important to realize what Pentecost actually did for us, is to do the things that Jesus did to draw people into the kingdom. Not to have a chill bump fun time or to see all these exciting things happening around us. To just keep it within the confines of the church so that we can have fun meetings and we can enjoy seeing God healing other church members. No. This was given to us so that we can go out into the world and show the world that there is a living God who lives within us, and He wants you to join Him and be with Him in all that He has to give to you. That's what this whole thing about Pentecost is about. Now I'm going to get to the stuff that talks about us. If we'll look at 2 Timothy 1 through 7. 1:7, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The word timidity there in Greek is deleia. Deleia can be translated as timidity, being afraid of doing something. Or if you really want to be tough about it, it can be translated cowardice. God did not give us the Spirit to make us timid. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Now, the word power there in Greek is dunamis, which means very powerful, which means kind of in English, the term we want to use is able to do things. Able to, a better word that we might use would be empowered. God has given us the empowerment. He's given us power. But He's balanced that with love and self-discipline. People can have power and do things, but if they don't do it with love and self-discipline at the same time, you'll see lots of abuses. And brothers and sisters, I have been in churches where I've seen lots of abuses. The power was there, but it wasn't balanced with love and self-discipline. Love, in this case, is the Greek word agape, which means love within the body of Christ. A Christ-godlike love, which means the power is not used for their sake. It's for the sake of others that the power that God gives us is used. That balances it considerably. The other thing is self-discipline. The self-discipline that God's talking about can also be translated as a sound mind. In other words, we're given this power, but we're given for it to be used with a sound mind. Sophorisimos is the Greek word. And it means literally one who is disciplined in their mind, one whose mind is set on certain rules and regulations, a sound mind. How do we do this? I threw in another verse up there. Can you show the 1 Corinthians? Okay. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Excuse me, but it doesn't say for personal enlightenment or personal entertainment or personal edification. I'm sorry, it says up there, we have the Spirit for the common good. A lot of times in English, the word you kind of throws us off track. The word you can be translated in English, it's both singular and plural. In a lot of cases, when it says each one, like just before this, he talks about you've been given the Spirit, and he lists several different types of gifts that are obvious in the Spirit. It's plural you. It means it's given to the body, to every one of us, for the common good, not for ourselves, but for the common good of the Church of Christ. For the common good to spread throughout the body. That's why we're a body, because we're all different parts put together for the common good. I know for me it'd be very bad if I couldn't operate my legs or my hands or my arms. I wouldn't be a complete body. That's what God's saying to us. Each one of you is very important to the body. Each one of you will have manifestation of the Holy Spirit if you desire to let it manifest through you for the common good. It doesn't manifest just because you want it to. It manifests for the common good of all the body. So, how do we do this? We do what I call step toward faith. We realize that God has empowered us with power and love and a sound mind. So what are we going to do with this? We're not born again to a spirit of timidity. Can you put 2 Timothy up there again, please? It doesn't make us timid. We need to realize that we have been given gifts for a reason. And the reason is not so that we can avoid using those gifts. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given them to us. We sit back and we think, I'm not worthy of doing this, or am I really hearing God right? That's why we step toward faith. As we use what God has given us, the giftings that He's put within us, we start stepping toward the faith that enables us to use that more because we're hearing God better. We're going to make mistakes. We're human. But we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. If we make a mistake, is He just going to say, okay, you're done. That's it. Bye. Sorry. How many of us would be walking a Christian walk if that was the case? Is there anyone in here that has never made a mistake? I have plenty of times. We're in an age of grace. We're in an age of grace. That means we can make mistakes and God will correct us. He'll take us away from those mistakes and say, okay, you did it wrong. You blew it. I'm sorry. Do you want forgiveness? Okay, ask for it. Say, I made a mistake, God. What does He do? He corrects you. He brings you back to the right path. Believe me, I have made mistakes that I could probably spend 4 or 5 hours telling you. But we don't need to do that right now because He's forgiven me for those. I tried to learn from Him. I said, I'm sorry, God. I may not be worthy of everything that you've given me, but by gosh, You're a loving Father. And when I saw my kids walking for the first time, I didn't pick them. I didn't let them just lay on the ground. I picked them up and helped them. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to understand that we're stepping toward faith. That the timidity that a lot of people have about not moving out and not doing things is because you don't feel worthy or you feel like God is going to not be with you. That's not what He said. Does not make us timid, but it makes us realize that we have power through love and self-discipline at the same time. That's what He's given to us. And now, if we're willing, He will enable us to do those things that He's already decided for us to do, enable us to do. Now you can look at the sheet that I gave you in the paper there. God's given some words to this fellowship. And we've been blessed to feel that Pastor Nick and Pastor Caleb feel that it's okay for these words to come forth and for people to realize what God's saying to this fellowship. I'm going to give you a special token of My Spirit to you. Will you receive it? I have pruned and pruned, and you have despaired of this. It is not to destroy you, but to cut back to the basic planting I have desired. Now is the season of growth, slowly but truly. You will bloom if you are willing to grow naturally, not in your own power, but in My power. Open your ears, open your eyes, open your hearts to Me, and do not ignore My Spirit. Can you go to the other one? This is one that I have brought each one of you to be in this place at this time by My good will and pleasure. You are here for a reason, not for yourselves, but for My purpose. You think you are here to fulfill your own needs, but you are here to accomplish what I desire. You desire to be blessed, but you will bless others. As you bless others, you will be blessed in your own desires. As you pour out to others, you will be filled. As you help others in their suffering, you will see your life grow beyond what you think you are your desires to be happy and secure. Do not turn from or ignore what my Spirit is calling you into doing. You will have all you need and more to accomplish what I call you to accomplish. Everyone that is in here today is not in here by mistake. Even if you're a visitor, even if you're a person that doesn't believe in what we're talking about and is sitting there scratching your head and going, whoa, what is he talking about? You're here for a reason. It's not an accident that you're here. Every single person in here is very important to God. Very important. And he has brought you here at a time to let you know that. That you are so important to him that he will arrange things for you to be in a certain place at a certain time. And he's gifted everyone in here. Not everybody's gifts are going to look the same. Not everybody's gifts are going to operate to the same extent. They will operate to the amount of faith that you have. Paul told us this. So as we fall into faith, as we start doing what God has called us to do, we're going to be stepping toward the faith that will fulfill what God has already called you to be and already called you to do. We were never intended to be born to a spirit of timidity, but to power, love, and self-discipline or a sound mind. This is what God wants to accomplish with this fellowship. This is what he's doing. We're going to have the ushers come forward. And I'm going to pray for just a moment. First, I want to pray for the other group that is our rest of our fellowship that is at Yogi Bear. I want to ask the Lord to just bless them. Father, we thank you so much that you brought us here, that you brought us together. Bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken, cords of love, fellowship. Bring us together. Let your blessings fall upon the other group that is meeting right even now. Let the words that Pastor Nick is giving to them just be your words, Lord, flowing from you, blessing them. And as they come back, let us join together in the blessing of the time that they've had together and the blessing of the times that we've had together, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are providing for us because you are our provision. We look to no one else but you, Father, to provide. You've called us to do a certain mission. We're to be disciples making disciples. And in order to do that, Lord, we need your provision for us. So we thank you, Lord, that out of what you've given us, we're able to provide a little bit of what you've given us to provide for your kingdom, and that you will bless all that we do. Our time, our words, our actions, and our deeds, Lord, are in your hands. Bless them, and thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you would give us an opportunity to serve you. So right now, Lord, just bless everyone that is here with your Holy Spirit. Fill them now with your Spirit, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After collection, if there's anyone that needs prayer, we're going to be having a little time of prayer up here. If anyone needs prayer, please come forward.